Welcome to Power Rankings, presented by MotoXAddicts.com. I'm Chris Cooksey with my buddy Dan Lamb, and this is our weekly Power Ranking show. Find out who the 10 fastest riders are in both the 250 and 450 classes. In 30 minutes, we're going to get you caught up on everything going on in both classes, so you can look like the smartest guy at the track this weekend. Dan, what's happening, brother? How you been?
I'm good, man. Just hanging out.
Yeah, a week off. I didn't know what to do with myself.
Well, you don't have a week off. You got a real job.
Yeah, well, I meant the weekend off. Yeah, the real job does suck, but it is what it is. It pays the bills.
So. Did you do anything last weekend because you didn't have to watch motocross?
I didn't do anything. Literally, the wife and I were like, should we go to California? Should we go to the beach? Should we do something? And we just, and some of my buddies went riding, and I was like, it's 120 outside. No, I'm good. I'm going to go ahead and just chill out, watch some UFC. Yeah, I didn't do anything. It felt good.
Yeah, we've been like Vegas here too. That was the kind of thing. My wife's always complaining because, you know, I haven't had an open, like, free weekends since 2011. So we really look for the calendar to get them, and we didn't do anything. But it's been like Vegas hot here, but with humidity. It's been gnarly. Just kind of like Washougal was. It was, you know, close to 100.
I got to cut you off. It's not Vegas heat. Vegas heat right now with the monsoons, we're looking at like a solid. My car thermometer constantly reads between 112 and 120, and it's humid. Dude, it's bad.
I remember them talking about monsoon, but I don't remember it ever being like real humid, like 30, 40% humid. Like, it seems like humid in Vegas is what, 12%?
I don't know. It sucks ass. My battery went out in my truck today. I had to change it out in the heat. I swear to God, I had heat stroke after 20 minutes of changing a damn battery.
Okay. All right. I take it back. It wasn't Vegas. It felt like it to us. Okay. I'm now a Northwesterner pussy, so it felt Vegas hot to me.
Well, that's like when I complain about how cold it is. Yeah, it's not. It's not cold like it is out there. So, all right. Well, hey, let's get into this. We'll get into the 450s. And at the number 10 spot, we both had Josh Grant. And I'm going to go ahead and listen. I don't think he's the best rider. He is one of the best riders out there. I don't know that he always gives it his all or is into it. But one thing you can count on with Josh Grant is when he doesn't have a ride and he's looking for a contract or he feels spited, that dude rides good. And he sat out the second moto at Washougal to make sure I think he could finish up the season and probably try and make some people eat crow or just show what he can do.
Yeah, he does have that reputation, but I remember asking him about it once and him being like, come on now. Like there's no difference in the way he rides when he needs a ride. I'm more on the side of he definitely turns it up when he needs a ride. But he doesn't seem to think so. And I don't know what happened to him at Washougal. I tried to get over there and find him or find anybody to talk about it. And the truck was empty when I went over there and I couldn't find out. But did you hear, I mean, just his stuff bothering him after the race, I think, from his injury?
Yeah, well, he's still recovering. Yeah, he's recovering from that ankle injury. And I guess it kind of swelled up after the first moto. And he could have went out there for the second moto, but then he wouldn't have been able to ride that week. And who knows if he would have had further damage to it. So they err on the side of caution and just pulled him out and said, you know what, let's just get you for the rest of the season.
It was hot, too, and humid. I mean, it was probably 100 degrees. It was a hot day, and to come back, you know, your first race back, and it be that hot, and the track was so rough. I've not gone out for a second moto before at Washougal, so I know where he's at.
Yeah, that track's sketchy, man. And then at the number 9 spot, we both had Weston Pike, and I do believe his talent should get him a little bit higher than 9th, but that wrist injury, he said somewhere, but I forget where he said it, but he said that he wanted to go ahead and get surgery on it, but he has to stay out there because obviously Bogle's not out there and they need bikes out there to, you know, to keep their sponsors happy. What have you heard and what do you think of Pike?
I don't think he's ever been really good at Unadilla. It's not like his kind of track. It doesn't seem to suit him well. I don't know how much the wrist is hurting him. I talked to his dad a little bit and his dad kind of played it down, but it is hurting him.
Dude, he went across the mechanics area using his left hand on the throttle.
Yeah, I
it's
saw
hurt.
That. Yeah.
And a badass like that? Come on. I'm surprised J-Bone doesn't just figure something out and let him sit down and just get this healed.
Yeah, just get him worked on. Let's get it done. Let's get ready for 2019. It's time to move on. I think that whole team needs to just call it a year.
Yeah. Well,
minus Hill.
I feel so bad for those guys, too, because they are one of the hardest working teams out there. They actually bring everything good that we need to motocross with the outside sponsors and the team effort. Gosh, it just sucks they're not getting results, and I just pray they don't go away.
This is a tough question, you know. And I like J-Bone. He's a great dude. But this team has been around forever. They've gotten, you know, budgets of a factory squad.
I'm going to jump in here and say, no, Dan. No, we can't get rid of J-Bone.
No, that's not. But at what point do we look at that? Roger DeCoster or Eric Keogh with that budget, with that team, would they be where J-Bone is? I mean, it's something. Is it something in the water in North Carolina? Is it that team has just struggled from day one, from jump? They get the big riders. They don't last. I mean, we're not going to talk about James. That was a definitely an anomaly and a weird situation. But they've gotten talent. They got Barsha. Barsha just went in the tank there. It's been weird. I don't know what it is about that team. But with any other thing, you look to the coach at this point.
This isn't a sport where you look to the coach. It's not like it's not like they're failing because J-Bone's his strategy. If you ask the riders, they're given everything they need to succeed. They're just not succeeding. I think a lot of it has to do with the whole relocation. And I think this is changing. But when they first opened up, nobody wanted to leave California. They had a hard time getting guys to come out there and be a part of that program. And I think that has a lot to do with it. So, yeah, I don't know. I just want him to get results, man.
I think he's too nice of a guy. I'm going to put it out there. I just think he's too much of their friend. And I don't know this. I don't know him. I don't know him well. This is just from what I look outsider looking in.
He does seem like an extremely nice guy, and that's probably why I just sure don't want him to go.
It just makes me wonder if Roger was there with that budget. I think he would have
been
able to do
Roger, come on. Roger just got lucky. Roger was in the right place at the right time. And don't get me wrong, he works really hard.
Over and over again.
Okay, hold on. Ricky, you're gonna credit him for Ricky from signing away?
Well, signing Dungy, Ricky, yes. Dungy, I mean he got Ricky to go there. That's part of being a manager. He got Dungy to stay there. Like that's part of being a manager. Is getting those riders. That's part of your job. A big part.
I disagree. I'm not impressed with Roger. I do believe he's not bad. He works really hard and he does the right things, but there's no magical potion there.
No, the magical potion is him. He got okay.
It's not.
Who wanted to ride Suzuki's when he got RC there? Nobody. Who wanted to ride KTM's when he got Dungy there? Nobody. And that's what I'm talking about. I mean, he's not going. I mean, yes, he was with Factory Honda for a long time. Getting riders there was as easy as giving kids candy on Halloween. It's a different story. But when Suzuki, with KTM, he took two programs that weren't winning and made them win. Whether it was the riders he brought there, he brought them there, and he did
it. What he brought to those teams was credibility. And so if you want to give him that, that's fine. I mean, that's what he brought. But once you actually look at the official program, it's not much different than the other ones. And, I mean, how about the way he handled Tickle this year? What'd you think about that?
That's kind of what he does. I mean, shoot. I mean, he's done it to a lot of his riders. I mean, look at Brett Metcalf back in the day. Bike ran out of gas with riding for them with the mechanic on site. The bike runs out of gas. They never even go visit him. I mean, I don't even think he knows who Moss's name is, and Moss rode for him for a year. Yes, if you don't perform, he doesn't give a damn about you. That's well documented. At least that's what it looks like from the outside looking in. But the guy knows how to engineer parts. He knows how to make a bike better, and he knows how to get riders on his bikes. So with that, his teams win.
It's not him. I will say this. I do believe go ahead and implant Eric Kehoe, or any of the other guys that are that work hard. And I think J-Bone's in that category. I do believe a lot of people look at him. He said he still gets shit over the Fresno Smooth video. And I mean, he had that reputation that he, to be a manager and come from that mold, it doesn't, it's not your normal mold. And I think that's why he's taking shit. And I don't think it, I don't think these results are they're not a reflect on him. I just don't think they are.
It's hard. I mean, yes, two or three years, 4 years, 5 years, but it's been how long? When what year did that team start? God,
I don't know.
It's been a long time now, though.
And they're going to turn the corner. They're going to turn the corner, hopefully.
They've been on factory bikes a long time, and you can probably count.
But are they really getting the factory bikes? I call
right now they definitely are.
Now they are, but for the longest time they weren't. They were getting good stuff, but it was like secondary.
It wasn't. I don't know. Yamaha was. They weren't there, so they were getting the best Yamaha had. I mean, yeah, when Yamaha showed up and they were competing with them, of course not. And they left. But I think they're getting factory bikes.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just been an unfortunate set of circumstances, and I think you're going to see them probably turn the corner here. Gosh, who's, I mean, Justin Hill, he could easily be a Supercross champion. That would make everything all right. And then
yeah,
they'd
we'll
be calling him a genius.
We'll talk about him just in a second here, but yeah, I agree. Let's see if he ends up having to be a privateer when he leaves there.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll get back to this power rankings.
Yeah, let's do that.
Number eight, we got Benny Bloss, big man. And big man re-upped over at Rocky Mountain KTM, and he'll be there next year.
I've heard. Yeah.
Do you know how long that deal is?
I don't.
Yeah. As far as I know, it's 1 year, but I don't know for sure.
Oh, I hate that. God, I would cringe as a rider, especially a rider like Benny. You want 2 years. You want to be able to relax for a year and just race. And then the next year, it's just, I think as a team too, I think you should give a rider 2 years. I think it just lets him relax and just race, where once again, he'll be racing for a contract again next year. And
yeah,
I think
absolutely.
That kid has deserved 2 years. He's earned it. He's earned a 2 year deal.
Yeah. You know me, I'm a big advocate for letting these guys get in there and learn for a few years. I mean, there's no other sport where we ask these guys to come in and do it right off the bat at these young ages. And if not, I mean, could you imagine if there was like a prospect quarterback that got fired at the age of 22 with no other opportunities? Seriously, 22.
I mean, without any drug problems or got caught.
Just straight up, oh, we're giving up on you.
Yeah.
You're 22. You're too old. What?
Yeah, Benny's been struggling. I was looking through photos for an article you wrote this week from Loretta's, and I caught one from 2015, him celebrating a championship. And, man, he's been a workhorse forever. Like, that kid has gotten it done and gotten it done with less equipment since the beginning of time. And I think it's awesome. I think he's going to be a badass.
Dude, that's what I'm talking about. He's in the 450 class. Number eight in our power rankings, dude was at Loretta's in 2015, 3 years ago.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yep.
That's, yeah. So we'll move on to number seven. This is the first place where we had different guys. And I want to say Justin Hill and Cooper Webb at seven. I have Cooper Webb at seven, Justin Hill at six. You had the opposite. I had a hard time with that one. It was. I wanted to go with Cooper because I know he rides Unadilla pretty good.
That's what I did, yeah. It was based on how he rides Unadilla. I actually changed it
right before
I sent it.
And I wasn't sure about Justin Hill's health after hitting the tree. And
wow.
That was nasty.
Yeah, that was interesting.
But I think Cooper Webb's mailing it in.
I don't know. Man... Somebody in his corner, somebody in his team has got to know, it's including him. This job is all about confidence, and you can't go into your off season mailing it in with sevens and eights. It's not going to help you. You need something big, and I think he needs something to kick him into gear for this training camp. It's something that's going to change his mentality going into 19, something that tells him, hey, I am good enough. Something that reminds him, shall I say, that, hey, I am an elite rider. I can ride with these elite guys. At some point, he needs to battle with the Justin Barshas and the Blake Baggetts. Like,
Anything he can chip away at the end of this season is less that he'll have to chip away at the beginning of next.
Period. Yeah.
And then Justin Hill, how's his health? Have you heard?
I haven't, but man, that was gnarly. And I'm glad somebody caught it, because all I heard was an ooh and an ah. I'm glad somebody saw it. It was pretty bad. I mean, I like you guys have talked about it last week, and I've ridden there a lot. I've never seen anybody hit a tree, which is surprising, there's so many there. But he hit that thing pretty hard.
He did. And all I could think of is, you know, I grew up in Salt Lake, and we'd go skiing all the time. And every so often, somebody lose control and hit a tree and die. And he hit a tree as hard as a skier could possibly hit it. And I'm like, damn, that's dangerous.
Well, the skiers that hit trees aren't wearing, you know, chest protectors and helmets. And
he wasn't wearing a chest protector, was he?
I think he wears under. I may be wrong.
I would hope so, but yeah.
I think it'd be stupid not to these days. There's so many good... You know,
it'd be stupid not to, but yet nobody does.
Yeah, no.
Go figure.
There's just so many good, like, lightweight under your shirt stuff now that can really help.
We'll go off on a tangent. I'm gonna just go forward on this, or we get stuck there.
Yeah.
Blake Baggett, number five, and for Blake Baggett, number five, on a track last year that he was battling for the win. Man, it's. It's got to be.
You could say that about a lot of tracks this year, but yeah.
He's usually always good at Unadilla, though. And man, what do you think? What's going on with him?
Same thing we talked about last week. I don't know. I think it's a confidence thing. I mean, we heard him talking about wanting to ride with people. Maybe he went and rode with Kenny all week, and we're going to see a different Blake. I don't know what that's all about. I do agree, though, in this day and age, you need to have somebody to chase. You need a carrot. Something to chase all week, something that shows you that you've progressed and gives you a little confidence going into the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, that can go both ways. You can also crush. It's good for one of the two guys. The other guy gets his confidence crushed.
Yeah.
And, you know, I grew up with a brother doing the same thing. And I'm not going to lie. We both built each other up sometimes and crushed each other sometimes, and it affected us on the weekends. All right, well, we'll go to Justin Barcia. Barcia always rides that track good. What do you think about him? Think he can get back up battling with those guys, or is he going to sit and settle in fourth?
Does he ride Unadilla good? It just doesn't seem like a track that he would like all that much.
So he's from New York.
Riding style. I know he's from up there. I don't know how much time he spent in New York, but
he made the 450 debut on the Honda, almost took out Dungy over that tabletop. And
oh, yeah, that's right. That little cross jump.
Yeah.
I remember that.
He does ride pretty good there.
It's amazing how good you can be when you first jump up or first move up to something and make it look so simple. And he did. He made it look so easy when he first moved up.
Yeah, but he couldn't maintain it, and those guys knew it. And Dungy and Villopoto just ate him up.
And I think Barcia's kind of reserved himself to be in the fourth best guy right now. That's kind of what it looks like right now. I mean, when he gets there, he seems to just settle in. Like, okay, I'm there.
Yeah, it's almost like they get to this point in the season, they know where they're at, and it's okay, and they just settle with it.
Yeah. So. I'd like to see his deal get done. You know, I think...
I heard it's almost done.
I did, too, and I think being announced, you know, we're gonna announce the Motocross of Nations team this weekend. I think that might be a little boost for him as well.
Okay, and on that note, the Motocross of Nations, my number three guy, Marvin Mouskin,
oh, God,
France geez. Didn't pick him.
Oh, we talked a little bit about this before we started the phone call and like, or before we started the podcast. And my God, we've heard for years that the French Federation does not like riders leaving the GPs and coming to the U.S. And we've seen them snub Marvin in the past. We've seen riders get snubbed that do well here. And to say that the second best, you have him number three, but he's second in the points and almost won a Supercross championship. It was like right in it. Like, how is this guy not on the French team in America at Redbud? It just makes zero sense. And it's, if Febvre and Paulin were winning races, yeah, there might be an argument. But neither of them are doing anything in the GPs right now. They're where Barcia is here, basically. And back further, Barcia, Baggett, Benny Bloss, they're in that fourth to seventh, or even worse for Paulin at times.
Let's see. They're asking another rider to fly his bike, who's not as good as a guy already located here, to fly his bike over the ocean to race a race. There is absolutely zero logic, and I hope they get their ass kicked. And maybe can Marvin ride for us, please? How about that? Can we do that?
It is. I can see it being a tough spot for them. Okay, you can't snub Pollen. Pollen has been there for every single win. And even before they went on this winning streak, he raised his game for Motocross the Nations like no one I've ever seen. Still to this day, I've never seen a rider who's just mediocre during the season raise his game like Pollen does for this event. So I think even though Fevre is better than him, and that's like a tough spot, I pick Pollen, Musquin, and Ferrandis. But I think maybe they had a hard time with that because Fevre's beating him over there. It's a tough spot, but you can't snub Marvin Musquin. I don't know how you do that.
No. I'm with you as far as Fevre. Just stay home. Do your country a solid and stay home. Or actually, do the United States a solid and come on over.
Marvin can win motos, period.
I know.
Marvin will hang with Herlings at Red Bud. So. I believe that. I don't understand this.
I want to be mad, but I'm not, because I just want us to win so bad. But I would prefer we beat the best guys. But if they make a bad decision, that's part of it. So screw them.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel bad for Marvin. But I think I told you before, like, I felt it in Marvin talking to him about it this year. I think it was in Lakewood or something, but asking him about Motocross the Nations. And you could tell he didn't expect to get snubbed, but he knew it still might be a possibility.
Yeah, it's disappointing because I do want to see him race that race, but it is what it is. And then I had Ken Roczen second, you had him third, and you had Marvin second. And the reason I put him second is, I'll explain it here, he's been making progress all year, and the results don't justify him being second from what he's done to this point. But with those arms, he's been getting stronger and stronger, and you, of all people, have been calling him to win like damn near every week.
Yeah.
And with a week off to rest those arms and rejuvenate, it's a European-style track that his style works really good on. I just think that win, that he wants one. He wants one. I don't think he needs more than that. He just wants one overall win, and you can see it on him. I think he gets it this weekend.
I can't see him winning Unadilla. I just can't. I'm going to stamp Ken Roczen for Ironman Indiana. The guy's amazing at that track, and I'm stamping Ken Roczen will win the finale, especially if Eli and Marvin are still undecided, and Eli's gotta, you know, just hold up like he did last year, just get enough to get it done. I think Kenny will beat Marvin there. I think Kenny's that good there, but I just can't see him getting the win this year, but this weekend. But man, it would be awesome. There's no one I'm rooting for more than Kenny.
Well, and let's be real. Nobody's beating Eli straight up. God. He's going to have to get a really bad start. He's going to have an Eli Tomac type mistake. And even with those this year, he's been able to overcome them. And he's having one of those seasons where you look back and just go, damn, you know, can't stop him. Even with bad luck, you can't stop him.
I can't believe it's as close as it is, because it's been just insane. Like the way he rode those last three laps at Washougal. Holy shit balls.
Think about this. Take all his crash highlights, the DNF, just make a highlight reel of all his bad things and show that to somebody and tell them he's winning the series by, what's he winning by, like 16 15, points?
15 points.
15
right now,
points?
Think, yeah.
But show all those to somebody. Say there's three rounds left. What do you think it's at? There's no way anyone would ever say that he's winning it after showing them all those. So,
well, it's you know, it's similar. I mean, look at Herlings is only winning by, you know, 20 something points now too. It's just when you're on the edge at all times, I guess shit can happen. And
yeah, very similar dudes.
Very similar dudes. And but I can't wait to see them race at Red Bud. I just can't wait. I said earlier that I think Marvin can hang with Herlings at Red Bud. I believe that, but I believe Marvin can hang with Tomac there too. It's going to be insane. I hope it lives up to the hype. I hope we don't have a big lead and you know, Tomac needs to mail it in, because he said that in Indiana last year. I hope that it's just straight up, these two get out front early, and we see what we're hoping to see.
Yeah. All right, Dan. Well, let's move on to. Actually, is there anyone else you wanted to talk about in the 450 class?
Not really. I mean, we've Filthy. We left him off the top 10 this week. Definitely, he's right there. God, I don't know if he's better than Josh right now. He probably is.
I wanted to put Kyle Cunningham on there above him and Josh.
Nah, but Kyle was. That's just Washougal, though.
He's right there.
Oh, that's Washougal.
The last few rounds, he's been up there.
Yeah, 12th. But he wasn't like 10th, 8th. I don't know. This was his best race of the year, wasn't it?
I couldn't put him on there, but I wanted to mention him. Like, he's hovering right there.
Well, I called it. He was my honorable mention last week.
And man, props to you on that. Would you like a sandwich delivered to your house, or?
I just want to say that I just want to be acknowledged, man.
All right. Top 10 in the 250 power rankings. Number 10, I had Jordan Smith, and you had Chase Sexton. And then for number 9, we swapped them. I went Sexton, you went Smith. They're close. They're both guys that, with a start, can run podium speed. Without a start, they're back at the top 10.
I wonder if people think we, like, do this together because they're so similar at this point, but I did not see his before I do mine and vice versa. It's crazy how close.
To our listeners, all three of them, I send these over to you, and I believe you look at mine, copy them, and then go ahead and make yours.
Pretty much, yep. Yep.
Silent on that one? No, I don't think you look at them. I trust you on that one, but I do send them over, and it's on the honor system. I know you, and I know you wouldn't.
No, I wasn't silent. I actually had you muted to take a drink of coffee, but yeah, no, I do not look at his before I do mine.
Yeah,
to the three people listening intently.
Yeah, I believe you. Okay, number 8, I had RJ Hampshire. You also had RJ Hampshire. How healthy is he? He's had some big get-offs. Do you know?
I don't. And I didn't talk to anybody on Geico last week. So I don't know what's going on with him right now. He's good there. He's always been good at Unadilla. So I think he's going to win this weekend. No, I don't. I have no idea where RJ is at, but
he could. He has the type of skill. He could. I could see him winning. His whole thing is one moto, not two. He could win one.
The 250 class from 4 down, I pretty much just puke out names and scramble them in because it just doesn't matter. Although you got a little weird. People are going to see it up at the top. But beyond that, from 4 down, I just throw out names and scramble them and put them wherever I want.
All right. Well, let's get up to there. You can't tell people it's weird and then not get up there. Anyway, Faulkner at 7. We both had him at 7.
Really?
Hopefully. What's that?
You put him there too. Okay. Hopefully, yeah. You said he was in. So.
Yeah, he's in. He's been riding. Says he's in. I'm assuming he's in.
Of course. He's hucking 200-foot quads.
Yeah, he revved. Yeah, running. Yeah, with the helmet cam at Renard's facility. So, and then number 6, I dropped Dylan Frandes. I've had him. I've been high on him all year long. I don't know what's going on with him. He's get these starts and he's not able to carve through the pack like he needs to. I know he got third or fourth in the second moto at Washougal, but you can't do that. You can't continually spot these guys. There's too many good dudes in this class. 6th might have been a little bit harsh, but it's so deep. Like you said, we could just kind of scramble those guys.
Yeah, but that's really, really it. And that's, I talked to him after the race, and that's pretty much what he talks about. It's just all his starts. I mean, look, he gets a start in the second moto, and no one's walking away from him. I mean, he's right there with these guys. I mean, it's just it all comes down to starts, and he's gotten some horrible ones, and he can't get through the field.
Speaking of starts, your guy Justin Cooper, who you had at number 6, that's all he gets, and look at his results.
Yeah. Man, Justin's awesome. I can't wait to see that kid next year. I think this has been a huge confidence-boosting year, and I think he's kind of, not mailing it in, but he's done what he's needed to do this year. There's really nothing to race for. His confidence is up there. He's got nothing, no pressure at this point. He's done. He's represented himself well. I think he's coming in the next year. Possible.
Did you say nothing to race for?
I did. I did say that.
Have you ever seen a rookie have nothing to race for towards the end of the year? They got, dude, these guys don't have money yet. He gets money for those podiums.
Well,
That's a podium
I don't
bonus.
Mean it like that. I'm just saying, like I said, he's not mailing it
I know,
in.
But I mean, it's not like a 10-year vet who's out of the championship. This is a rookie. Rookies go till the end. I don't see that at all.
I think I maybe threw up a word I wasn't supposed to use there.
Possibly. And I Possibly. Totally, it does happen. Totally, yeah, rubbed it in. Okay.
My we'll go number, to number five is where he's supposed to be, though. Just for everybody to know, I don't know what the hell Chris is smoking over there in California or Las Vegas, wherever the hell he lives.
Well, on your power rankings?
Yeah. Number five is where he's supposed to be.
Justin Cooper?
No, that's number six. Number five is Shane McElrath, right where he's supposed to be.
No. I've got him at number two. He did win second moto. Anyway, yeah. So number five, I had Joey Savacci, and you had Shane McElrath.
I do.
They both won a moto last week.
They did.
9-1 and 1-9 just goes to show you how deep the field is. Guys that win get ninth if they don't get a start.
This is true, but Joey came through the field like a gangbuster, and Shane couldn't really do much in the first moto. Joey turned a corner. That corner I said he was going to turn, he turned it. I think the rest of the year is going to be good for Joey. I really do. I almost put him third. He's really good at Unadilla. I think that was a huge weight off his shoulders last weekend. Even though the second moto, he had a rough time. He had to come from way, way back. He did. He pushed forward. I think both motos were huge confident boosters for him. And I
well,
think
if he's so good, why do you only have him number four?
Well, because just out of respect, I can't. For me, the top three are. That's, you got to really beat someone up to get him out of there. And I really believe. I think Dylan might win this weekend.
Hold on. You put Dylan number two after the performance he had. And you're giving me shit over what of McElrath with a 9-1, a guy that just won a moto. I put number two, and a guy that his best finish was fourth.
Fair.
Okay.
All right.
Just checking. A-Mart, we
and
both
Shane
had him.
Shane did
we
get
actually,
second
we
there
agreed
last
on
year.
A-Mart at three.
What's that?
We both agreed on A-Mart at three.
We did. And I don't even think A-Mart should be there. I almost dropped him to like five. He's been struggling.
Clearly, you put him there for ceremonial reasons.
Just, he's earned it. He's second in points. He's earned at least the top three right now.
I put him third because I don't believe he's going to be off the podium. He's good. And he's good back east. He gets starts. He's made a lot of mistakes, but he's a top three guy. So I put him third.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be near the podium. Something's wrong with him right now. I don't know what it is, but something's not right, shall I say. I don't know if it's an injury he's nursing or something, but ever since, God, the weekend before Millville, wherever they were, he just hasn't been right. I don't know. He just doesn't seem like he
when
did.
When you say he's not right, are you talking about, is he fading? Is it jitter? Like, what are you seeing?
He's not coming through the field, which is what he was doing earlier.
And you don't think it's just that the field is deep and the tracks, there was a few tracks there where it got a little bit one-lined.
I do agree that the field is deep, but he seemed to be going through the pack more earlier. And he doesn't, I don't know, he just doesn't seem to me, just watching him ride, he doesn't seem to have the aggression he's had or the speed. So I almost put him fifth this weekend, going into this weekend. I think that's about where he'll finish at Unadilla this weekend.
Wow, I think you're way off. I think you're going to see the Alex Martin that you've seen earlier in the year at Unadilla. And then you had my boy Dylan at number two.
I did.
We talked about that. And Plessinger, just, he's dialed. It's his year, dude.
Yeah. He's,
I mean, what his championship lead is gigantic. He's going to wrap this up with a round to go. Good for him.
When it's going good, it's going good. I mean, 4-3 for an overall. When it's going your way, it's going your way.
Seriously, 4-3. But did you hear him on the podium talk about, I've got to learn how to deal with the heat? And earlier in the year, I had talked about him possibly having heat stroke or something. Did you hear that?
I didn't.
Yeah, that's what he said. So, yeah, the heat's getting to him. I don't know. This weekend, it looks like it could be kind of rainy. But I don't know. I look for him, if it's really, really hot, to just mail it in at like a 4-3. And get through it, because, he's going to take the championship.
I was surprised
to
see
bait,
Shane.
So he's not sleeping.
No, but I was surprised to see Shane pass him and just work him. I mean, Shane was so good. in that second
Yeah, he
moto.
was so good. And you have him number five.
I do, but he was so good in that second moto. There's that hard pack. He just Unadilla and Washougal are two completely different animals. You're looking at
Yeah.
ruts, you know, like straightaway long ruts through Unadilla. You're looking at it was hard packed, choppy. It was Salt Lake City. It was the hardest I think I've seen it in a long time.
Yeah,
Just G
is
outs
there a
and
better
chop.
hard pack rider right now in the 250 class than McIlrath, which is crazy
No.
cause from where he, you know, he's raised back east.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think that, but like you said, I guess he spends a lot of time and he's really adapted out to the California tracks.
He does, and he didn't ride very well last year at Unadilla either. So I can't see him being number two for Unadilla.
Fair enough. All right, Dan. Well, anything else you want to add on the 250 class?
No, just looking forward to this weekend. And Dylan Ferrandis, we didn't talk about though, did get chosen for the French Motocross Nation team, so that's cool.
Yeah,
I
that's
think
right.
it's gonna be. I think he could win a moto for as far as against the 250s. I don't think anybody's gonna win any motos outright other than Tomac. God, I would have said Tomac, Musquin, and Herlings.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I could see Caroli getting a moto, and Dylan's going to do good. Here's the thing that's going to help him, and I thought about this as soon as as soon as I kind of figured he was going to be on the team. His bad starts aren't going to affect him. He's on a 250. Every 250 gets a bad start. He actually might be at an advantage because he's used to dealing with that kind of. He's been dealing with it all year, where somebody like Plessinger, he's going to be stuck back there, and it's new territory. Well, not that Plessinger's had any problems with it, and it's going to be cool. So, yeah, it's going to be good. Yeah, that's a great choice for the 250 class for France. I don't know what the hell they were thinking with Marvin, though. Stupid.
I'm just upset. I got my tickets. I'm ready to go. And I mean, hey, at least this way I get to see two riders I don't see very often. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. And then this weekend, watching the 250 class, watch some of the guys that are looking for rides. Mitchell Harrison, Bailey, these guys. They can't mail it in. They got to go for it. So we'll see who can show enough to get a ride for next year.
I don't think either one of them have shown enough to. I don't think either one of them can bury up. I mean, what's open?
Not much. All this money's going to these amateurs.
Your article was good, by the way. I don't know if you know, if there is three people that are watching this. If you haven't checked it out, there's an article on MotoXX.com right now, and it was a damn good write up. And that's one thing I like about some of your write ups right now is, you know, you're not just bitching. You're actually giving solutions. And while I don't always agree with your solutions, you're at least trying. And I agree. Some of the money's got to be left out, and we got to get guys like Benny Bloss and guys like that a chance.
Yeah, let's keep amateur racing amateur and professional professional. I was surprised when I looked at that Little League World Series. So out of the thousands and thousands of people since like 1945, 45 of those kids have made it to the major leagues, and only like one or two, like Gary Sheffield, I think. There's only a couple stars. So what that tells me is skills develop later in life, but not in our sport. We give them all this stuff early and anoint them, and by giving them that, they're done. Good luck beating Ryder DeFrancesco with a bike you bought at the shop. It's just not going to happen. And therefore, they won't get the attention. And there's a kid that might have more talent. I'm not saying that this kid's not talented. He's very, very talented. We're just not leaving it. It's just not a level playing field.
Yeah, no, I don't know how much Loretta's a lot of people watch, but I watch a lot of it, and I know you watch a lot of it, and it's just there's so much talent in that field and deep in the field too that just we're never going to see it. And they're going to be a local pro. They're going to show up at A1 on their own bikes, and within a month or two or a year or two, we're not going to even know remember they existed. And it's sad, and it needs to change. Some of these kids, from what you've told me and from what other, they might be making $500,000 a year
They are.
racing 85s.
Between contingencies and then the bikes they give them that their parents can sell, it's ridiculous. And then the at home, you know, the homeschool scholarships they were giving away. I'm like, what? Wait, what? They're giving away homeschool scholarships so you can train at a facility full time? What?
What does that
For
even mean?
B
So
and
there's like
C
a
riders?
homeschool, like there's a class at like Club MX or something?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I honestly, I don't want to say too much about it. I just saw they were giving away a scholarship, and it had to do with homeschool. I'd have to research more. I don't want to.
Yeah,
show off
yeah.
About
no, I'm
something
not
I don't
badmouth.
Know
I'm just curious what it entails. What that scholarship gives a kid.
I don't know. I was like, I don't ever remember that when I was a kid.
No,
I would have
everybody
jumped on that.
School.
I didn't want to go to school. I wanted to race dirt bikes, but.
When I was a kid, Eric Kehoe was the number one mini bike rider in the country. Eric Kehoe and George Holland at the time. And Eric graduated from high school with my brother at Kennedy High in the Valley. And that's just what you did. You graduated high school.
And Damon Bradshaw graduated high school.
I don't remember anybody homeschooling back then. I mean, it may have happened, but it was rare. Everybody just went to high school. And when they got out of high school, they pursued it a little harder. And it's... most of them have jobs afterwards too. Like, that's the thing. We don't have, you know, I don't want to like talk about anybody in particular, but we don't have, back then it wasn't like when you quit racing, your job is transporting weed or, you know, whatever. It's like,
no, dude, you can look up, not all motocrossers go to heaven. It's not good. I mean, there's a list. There's a list of talented pros in jail.
Yeah, and they were all amateur prodigies, every single one of them.
What does that tell you? The system's broken.
I know, and they don't have... I remember when I stopped racing, your identity's taken away, and like that's the thing. Like, when these kids don't have racing, that's all they are. That's without it, they're nothing. And because they've been given nothing else. No social skills, really. No education. It's that they race, and that's... While I watched Loretta's and in awe of some of these kids' talent, the whole time I'm like wondering, you know, like, what's this kid going to be when he grows up if he's not a motocrosser? And it's hard to figure that one out.
Yeah, and both of us were really fast mini guys, and I rode in the Race of Champions with Lusk and those guys, and it didn't all go good for me. But it's funny how I'm glad it didn't, because if it had gone better, I probably wouldn't have gone to college. I wouldn't. It's funny how things end up. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's and Loretta's being this week, I mean, definitely puts it to the forefront. It's definitely something to talk about. But other than that, I mean, Derek Drake won the Horizon Award. Kid's definitely fast. I don't know that I saw anything crazy about him, though. But I guess it'll all come down to seeing how he works and how he ends up. But he seems like he could be a good pro.
Dude, I felt bad for Mitchell Falk. He's not ready.
I agree.
And he's got to go. He's taking Alex Martin's spot. There's going to be so much pressure. He's going to get a lot of crap. And I don't think it's fair, but that's the position they put him in.
How old is he?
I'm not sure. I have to check. I believe he's 17, but I'm not positive.
Yeah, I was surprised to hear that Garrett Marchbanks is only 16.
Yeah, and him, I think they really wanted to keep him amateur, but he just grew. And they're like, we got to get him on there pretty quick.
Yeah, but I think he's a kid Mitch is going to have some patience with, because he showed a lot this year, I thought. I don't know if the, you know, if it's Mitch thinks the same way I do it and you do, but to me, the kid showed a lot.
I would hope they give all these guys a little bit more time, but that's just my feelings. So anyway, well, Dan, anything else you want to get off your chest before we wrap this thing up?
Nope, we're good.
All right, well, hey, everybody, thanks for listening. Whether you like us or not, go in. Go to the iTunes section, give us a review, tell people what idiots we are, or if you like it. And until next week, stay out of jail.